Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, we have our school report coming up. Okay. There's no action taken in closed session, and that brings us to our student representative to the board.
Okay, so we do not have anything from Lyndhurst or Charter, but for Marysville High School on August 28th, our leadership decorated the football stadium for our first home game, which we won 41-7. And then September 1st, we had our first student council meeting where we decided our fall homecoming theme, which will be superheroes. And they also selected our dress-up days for our homecoming spirit week. On September 2nd, our volleyball team hosted a Pack the House against Gridley. And Pack the House is where we try to get more students involved, so we only charge them $2 for their entry fee. And then on September 9th, picture retakes for those who missed, and seniors will be taking their photos for yearbook. September 10th, we have a volleyball game against Wheatland, and then September 9th, we have a picnic day. So since we had our food days taken away, we set up games so students can play, and we have local supermarkets donate food so they can have something. And then September 14th, volleyball game has a game against East Nicholas. September 16th through 18th, our school will be having our annual club rush, and that's where all of our organizations get the chance to tell other students what they're about, and they try to recruit them to their clubs. And then September 17th, our freshman football team has a game against Orville at Orville. September 18th, JV and varsity football game have a game on Orville against Orville at Orville. And then September 21st, volleyball game has a game against Dixon. And that's it.
Thank you very much. We have the school report from Marysville High School.
Good early evening. Many paths, one journey. If you're out on 18th and Chestnut, you'll probably see that on the side of the building. In terms of going to school, staying in school, and succeeding in school, Marysville High School students over the past 5 years have exceeded our school's attendance goals of 95% every year, averaged 2% dropout rate, and averaged a 96% graduation rate. Marysville High School's dropout and graduation rates are among the highest in the North State. Leading up to the 2014-2015 school year, the Marysville High School community engaged in an extensive self-study and assessment process via the Western Association of Schools and Colleges, WASC. In October of 2014, a six-member WASC visiting committee visited Marysville High School for 4 days, observing classrooms, meeting with all stakeholders, and talking to students, parents, staff, and community members. As a result of their visit, the visiting team awarded Marysville High School a 6-year accreditation. That's the highest term possible, with a 3rd-year midterm visit. When 3 members of the 6-member committee returned to Marysville High in the spring of 2017, they will be looking at Marysville High School's action plan, assessing how much progress we have made on our plan, checking to see whether we are on the right track, and determining whether we have the capacity to continue school improvement efforts. The main message the visiting team sent via its recommendations is that Marysville High School demonstrates pockets of excellence that need to be made systemic and comprehensive while increasing rigor in all areas. This overarching synopsis of the visit fueled a school action plan containing 15 tasks categorized under 3 goals. Tonight, through the context of each goal, we'd like to publicly communicate tasks or parts of tasks that have been accomplished or upon which we are currently working, that's the doing part, and tasks that we have left to do, pursuing. We appreciate your attention and gauge of how much progress we have made, whether we are on the right track, and whether we demonstrate the capacity towards desired school improvement.
Good evening. So our first goal focuses on collaboration. For collaboration, we had several components of this, working on developing a professional development plan, creating systematic collaboration across the whole school, increasing student voice, and increasing student-centered instruction while increasing rigor. How we're doing this. So to do this, first off, we created two academic seminar classes. This is through our PBIS Tier 2 component. So this is a class to help our students not only do well behaviorally, but do well academically across all classes. We also, with PBIS, we are still working on Tier 1 and Tier 2. Last year, we had a team present at Santa Clara in a symposium, and we are also applying to present at the International Conference in San Francisco. For PLC trainings, or Professional Learning Community trainings, we are researching trainings, and we're hoping to send a team to a training this fall. And for conversations about increasing rigor with our entire staff at our teacher buyback day, we had a substantive conversation about rigor with our whole staff. Things that we're pursuing is we are looking at collaborating across the curriculum within departments and then across with grade level, also with our feeder schools and also with our community colleges. Decision-making. So we have several components within decision-making, including systemic assessment, direct decision-making, informing instruction, and increasing rigor. So for goal two for doing, one of the main things that we're working on is trying to get all of our students and staff using Google Drive, so we're working on getting them trained. We're also very pleased that we not only have three counselors this year, but actually four. So we're able to have one counselor per grade level so that they can really focus on the needs of our students across whatever that grade is. We also were able to create tutorial courses to help our special ed students be more successful in their general ed classes. And with the addition of two FTEs, we're able to increase intervention classes as well as increase enrichment classes. And things that we're pursuing in the future, next year we're hoping to add an AP U.S. history class to help increase our AP numbers. And finally, our third goal is technology. We're hoping to increase teacher use of technology and training for technological tools across the school. One of the main things that we're focusing on with technology right now is getting everybody using ARIES, meaning our students and our parents. Right now, when we went into our classes at the beginning of the year, almost all of our sophomores through seniors are on ARIES and can check their grades. So now we're working on our freshmen. So we're going to be going into our health and careers classes to get them all set up so that they can check their ARIES. We also have, we're trying to get our parents on ARIES. So we have computer carts set up at back to school night so we can get those parents set up so they can check their students' grades. We also were able to purchase 6 new computer carts. So we have new Chromebook carts. And then this last year, we also piloted Turnitin, which is a matching software to help with plagiarism. So we had 9 teachers use it, and they graded, let me see, I think it was 139 papers using this. And pursuing, we're hoping, continue with the Google Drive. And then we're also using SurveyMonkey to use that to get data and assessment to see how we're doing.
So 3 overarching goals, 15 tasks, many subtasks. You have the action plan in front of you starting on page 3 is where it starts the rhythm, and there's it contains the content of what we're presenting tonight and details what we've been working on, what we've done, doing, and pursuing. So tonight, really, we want to thank you for allowing us to share the things we as a school are excited about having done and are doing related to our school action plan, for sharing the things in which we are currently working and sharing the items with which we need to dig deeper and work to make happen. We appreciate your attention and gauge of how much progress we have made, whether we are on the right track, and whether we demonstrate the capacity toward desired school improvement. We are all here for student success, and we appreciate our district's leadership, collaboration, and support, assisting with our school improvement structures and processes for helping students learn and grow. We especially thank you for your direct investment in our school. The LCAP funding is responsible for the following items highlighted in tonight's presentation. Number one, our school piloting two academic seminars. These are PBIS academic intervention sections this year due to the added FTE to Marysville High School for intervention and enrichment. Number two, lowering class sizes in our intervention math classes, which already demonstrate promising student success results. And number three, adding two guidance counselors. That's a total of four, the value of which for our students we cannot adequately articulate at this time, but understand the benefit is already readily evident and continuously building capacity for student support and success. Number four, piloting the tutorial courses in special education. And number five, ongoing commitment toward funding of the ROP career tech education sections as state career tech education funding mechanisms change and ROP funds decline. This is extremely important because the future assessment of California high schools will be based significantly on statewide measurements of college and career readiness. In addition, the ongoing LCAP investment 2 years ago for athletics, basically in 2 years, our athletics budget doubled from what it was just 2 years prior. Investment in necessities such as transportation, officials, and fees create additional opportunities for students to participate and compete. Last year, during our board report, like some of the LCAP investments of which we speak tonight, we could speak anecdotally about the improvement, but it was too early to measure. Suffice it to say, our student participation rate in athletics in 14-15 increased from 47% to 52%, that's duplicated count, from the previous school year. That's the percentage of students that participate in athletics. This year, we have even more students participating already than this time last year. The money our district invests in athletics enhances and improves our students' whole educational experience. Outside of LCAP money, we would like to publicly thank Dr. Todd and Kathy Cartwright for replacing six classroom sets of desks and chairs in the main building. Remember, the main building is 75 years old this year. Some of these desks that are being replaced quite literally were sat in by Mr. Boom, Mr. Rasmussen, Mr. Harris, and Mr. Fleury when they attended Marysville High School. In addition to our cafeteria this year is 40 years old. We would again like to publicly thank Dr. Todd and Kathy Cartwright for finding funds replacing 18 cafeteria tables that we have had, both original to the Lester Joubert multipurpose room cafeteria 40 years ago and or that we got as hand-me-downs from elementary schools 7 years ago. In addition, we would like to thank our district for the installation of numerous surveillance cameras throughout our campus. These cameras have proven to supplement our security efforts in very just and quality ways, which make our campus much healthier and safer for everyone. Many people, programs, investments, and successes were omitted from our report tonight, but we hope to find ways throughout this school year to make short, distributive reports related to specific programs and investments and progress related to our school action plan and student success. As always, we invite our board and our community to visit our school anytime, any day you choose. We invite you to visit our website. We invite you to any and all of our athletic and school events. Anytime you are on campus, we hope you will notice our commitment to our three school rules: be respectful, be responsible, and be healthy. Our attention to detail in terms of the grounds, the hallways, both in terms of traffic and cleanliness, the restrooms, our quality relationship with community partners, our commitment to academic achievement, quality instruction and personalization of learning, and the general feel of our campus. Where attention goes, energy flows, and results show. Many paths, one journey. Thank you.
You have your Christmas list ready, or are you just going to prepare that?
There's so much to present, and trying to do in 10 minutes, which we missed it by a bit. But what emerged was a year ago, we were all working on that self-study. The visiting team came. Our action plan is laid out exactly what they said, so we wanted to publicly bring that forward. We wanted to talk. We welcome any discussion if there's any questions about details about the plan. Our presentation tonight wasn't too detailed about specifics, but believe me, it is where our attention is going and our energy is flowing, and hopefully the results will show. But the overriding thing was the thank you. The LCAP, the recession was hard on everybody. And we would say particularly the high schools. The LCAP funding the last couple of years have been very, 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 very helpful. And those were the key two emotions that were going to accountability for our action plan, as well as thank you for these resources. And we feel a responsibility to make sure that they pay off for everybody. And we may ask for more down the road.
believe me, Gary, that we're all happy that we are getting a little more funding.
Okay, oh, absolutely. For, yeah, right. Yeah. But we want to show it's paying off.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's that? Yeah, for the record, I sat in those chairs, too.
And I have been looking at the desks very closely because we are certain there are desks with your names carved in them. So we're still looking, and when we find them, we'll let you know.
Mr. Cena sat in those seats also.
Yeah, I don't know if there's desks, but I know there are books that have your names in them.
Okay, that brings us to comments from board members. Mr. Denable? Okay, that's allowable. Mr. Crawford?
Just in speaking with the three principals, new music teachers seem to be accepted with great glee. And if not, and you're a principal, let me know. But
glee. That was good, the glee club.
Thank you, you like that? And Thursday is grandparent night at Kynock. The reason I know that is I have to go. Thank you. I want to go. I get to go. That's all right. Thank you.
Mr. Boom?
Thank you, Marysville High School, for your report. And congratulations to your football team on their wonderful start this year. One of my concerns about Marysville High School, the Sportsman's Club, that has been, I believe, close to a year and a half when it was first brought forward. And it seems like it's been being worked on for over a year now. And it seems like that we kind of want to distance ourselves rather than embracing the idea of what it actually is. I'm sorry, we're not reinventing the wheel. This is something that other schools in our area do. And I can't understand why it would take this long to get something up and running that so many students are interested in. I mean, it teaches kids responsibility, it engages them in school, it teaches them sportsmanship, and I know there are a lot of hoops to jump through, there's obstacles to look at, but it's almost like we're trying to turn it into something that it's not, and I think that we need to be upfront with it and call it what it is. It's a trap club. I mean, that's what it's for. It's not a hiking and camping club. I know you don't like to hear that, Ryan, but that's what it is. So... we're distancing ourselves from what it is. You don't want to pull the wool over the people's eyes in the public. We need to call it what it is. We need to be upfront about what it is. It's not a hiking and camping club. So, anyways, that's one of my concerns. Thank you.
Mr. Rasmussen?
I would also like to thank all the Marysville administration and all the staff that goes into every day of working with students and being able to work on that WASC review and get in a vision and being able to carry out that vision. It's so important for the kids. I would also like to say I had the opportunity to visit some of the back-to-school nights, and it's a great time to get to see what's going on in the classrooms and get to meet some of the parents and see what's actually happening at school. So thank you very much again.
Mr. Flory?
First, it's a very good report. You always give a good report. Most of our schools do, but you give a very good report also. it's nice to see the administrator sitting here. And also on Friday is Grandparents' Day at Kovalod, this Friday, which I should know. Also on Friday, last Friday, the Lions Club wanted to visit Lyndhurst High School, and we had a chance to go. Bob was very proud as he showed us around. We went to the different classes. We saw the new culinary class, which is really something to see. We saw the ag department, and some of the Lions said they had no idea these things went on at Lyndhurst. And of course, after the news, they wanted to see it, and they were very proud of what they saw. Bob was very proud of as he showed the school off for over an hour and went through the different parts. Also, our Tri-County Music Contest is coming up on the 19th and the 26th. I mentioned before, and I want to thank Lenny Tate publicly for helping me with the music teachers getting the word out. The first prize is $1,000. The second prize is $750. The third one is $500, and then there's a judge's award of $100, and we're encouraging everyone that has any singing talent would like to try. Tomorrow we're visiting MCAA for an hour, bringing the forms over, and several of the administrators have helped getting the forms out. We want to make sure everyone has a chance to participate in this worthwhile event. This is the third year. We've raised the money, and this money all goes back to our schools. Thank you.
Mr. Harris?
My only comment is a couple. This is a good document. Thank you. I enjoy looking at these and reading through them. And it wasn't 75 years. It's only been 49 years since I started school at Marysville High School.
There, too, I have left a lot of footprints around Marysville High School over the years, but I went to the back-to-school night. It was nice to see all the enthusiasm at the Marysville High School teachers. I didn't get to every classroom, of course, but I got to six. And that's kind of an amazing thing. I picked a few at random, and everybody seemed ready to go. Whether they're still ready to go, I'm not so sure, but it was a good night to spend at Marysville High School. And also, I'd like to welcome our three administrators here, Jamie and Doug and Kathleen. You notice Doug looks so comfortable in his seat there. He's asleep. Okay, good seeing you. Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board, and we have nobody from speaking at, from Marysville Teachers Association. I know, but she's not speaking. She said no. I looked up first, just to confirm. Operating Engineers Local Union 3, California School Employees Association 326 and 648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, and Supervisory Unit. Okay, I have no public comment cards, so that'll turn us over to the superintendent's report.
Good evening, and thank you, Mr. Rex. First on my list of things to mention is I am so glad that Ryan DiGiulio is back. It's nice to see him sitting over there. Romero was looking a little lonesome by himself, but it is really nice to have him here, especially when the news crews show up again at Lyndhurst and it was his turn to draw the short straw. So thank you for that, and welcome back. You've commented, a couple of you board members, on the folks you see sitting before you tonight rounding out our cabinet staff. And tonight we have Jamie Larson, Doug Ashman, and Kathleen Hansen. Two of the three are on my schedule for evaluation this year. Kathleen completed it last year with me, but I wanted to have middle school represented. So she is here with her middle school, AKA Foothill, hat on. And the reason that you're seeing them here is an effort to help folks understand what goes on in cabinet, which seems really like an exciting place. I think some of them had their eyes opened a bit today about all of the things that are going on throughout the district, not just what's happening at their sites. They're always in the middle of those activities, but This is giving them more of a district-wide perspective. Jamie has been on cabinet for 2 years since we expanded it beyond just the assistant soups and myself. So they come to cabinet, and then they'll be here at board meetings. And so you will see these shining faces for the next 3 months. And then I rotate in the next three, and then that group will be here for 3 months, and then finishing out the year, there'll be another three. So welcome. Thank you for being here, and I appreciate your input, both in cabinet and here at the board meetings, to help everyone understand this organization and how it works in all of its intricacies. Wanted to remind the board that Monday, this coming Monday, September 14th, 10 a.m., the Air Force ROTC is going to be visited as part of the application process, and so we will have someone from the Air Force coming out to assess the community support and the school support, and also to look at the space that we have allocated for them. So, again, if you are available, I would love to have you there so they can see just how strongly our community and our board has always and wants to continue supporting the Air Force ROTC program. I did get a letter from President of the Supervisors, Board of Supervisors, Mary Jane Griego, beautiful letter supporting the reinstatement of the program. And I've also reached out to individuals who, when the program was being shut down, had made donations, had done extraordinary things to try to get funding to come to help that program stay in effect. And so they receive personalized invitations in the mail. So we're hoping to have a really nice size group there to show just how strong that support is. So please, if you can, be there. And I would like to say that the LCAP resources, how long have we been waiting for those? It's been wonderful that we can spread those out to the sites. The needs are not few, they are many, and we'll start ticking them off as we can. I think hopefully the message that everyone in the audience and in our district has heard is that we've been listening. The board has been listening. We felt the pain of the programs and the positions you lost over the years. They were necessary cuts to make it through some very troubled times, but now we are able to bring those back, and it is an exciting time to be in Marysville Joint Unified School District. We've added lots of positions, music, PE at the elementary, added staff at the high school so they can start doing some of the things that they've done so well to meet the diverse needs of our students. And so it's a great time to be out there for them to see what's going on. Not a great time if you aren't having air conditioning in C building at Lyndhurst High School. The good news is that the plans from the architects have been submitted last Thursday, I believe it was, Friday, to the Department of State Architecture. So we are moving down our timeline. So we're excited to see that, yes, it is coming. It's just not fast enough for any of us. But please bear with us, and we will continue to do as much as we can as quickly as we can. And that is all I have for this evening. Thank you.
And the ROTC, that's at 10 o'clock a.m. at Lyndhurst High School in...
We're going to meet in the main office building. So right there when you first walk in, we'll congregate there, and then we'll see where they would like to escort us once we all gather. So it'll be from 10 to 11, so just an hour.
So they'll be there to tell us where to go. Okay. I couldn't resist.
Not touching.
Okay. We have the next up is approval of minutes from the board meeting of 8/25/15. The board will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Crawford. Second?
Second.
Mr. Danable. Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? No.
Tony Danable.
All right. I did want to say something to Madeline. Okay, good job. I didn't get a chance to say that in one of the board minutes, but you did great.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Next, consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda?
Under Educational Services, number 3.
Educational Services, number 4.
No, 3.
Number 3.
And I would like to make a correction on Educational Services, number four, the dates for the Key Club, Marysville Key Club Regional Training Conference is not on the 12th. It starts on the 11th and goes through the 12th. So it would be September 11th and 12th.
So we have a correction on number four, that the departure date is the 11th, and everything else is correct, and 11th instead of the 12th. Okay. With one item being pulled, are there any other items to be pulled? The board will entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Harris moves to approve.
Second.
Mr. Danable seconds. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and now we're back to overnight field trip number four. Pardon, field trip. Mr. Danable?
The reason I had this item pulled is for no other reason, well, various reasons, but just to bring attention to this field trip schedule.
I think the board is pretty much aware of the schedule, so... Is that it? Or?
Yes.
Okay. The board will entertain a motion to move to approve. Mr. Harris, seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. Okay. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Two. Okay. That's Mr. Crawford and Mr. Danable. Okay. Moving on to new business. Resolution 2015-1607, availability of textbooks and instructional materials. And we need to set a public hearing for this for 9/22. So with the board's approval, we'll use 9/22 as the public hearing. Next item is purchasing department. Resolution 2015-1608. Disposal of obsolete textbooks, instructional materials for the 2015-16 school year.
Mr. Rex, this item is to request the board approve a resolution to authorize disposal of obsolete elementary and secondary textbooks and instructional materials for the 15-16 school year. If you have questions, the Director of Purchasing is here and is happy to answer your questions, Kathy Cartwright. If not, we would ask that the board make a motion to approve.
Kathy, will we get a list of items? You know, I know a lot of times they're electrical.
No, it's not the surplus property. It's more, it's the books, materials that become obsolete with new, I understand there's going to be a new adoption. And so we're going to be a little overwhelmed with obsolete materials. So there won't necessarily be a list. But the items do get authorized for disposal or discard through the Educational Services Department before they're stamped discard, and then the warehouse will pick them up and we'll recycle them or find new homes for them. We can donate to charitable organizations if they're interested.
Okay. It's been moved by Mr. Harris to approve item one, purchasing department. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor? Aye. Nays? None. Unanimous. Business services. Unaudited actuals financial report. And strolling across the room is Ryan. Okay, ready to go.
Thank you, Board President. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for the opportunity to both the board and the superintendent to return here. It's a wonderful district, and we definitely have challenges, but I'm going to work, you know, my hardest with our leadership team and the board to try to confront those challenges head on, and I'm just very happy to be here. And another reminder that our health and benefits fair is tomorrow from 2 to 7. I'd like to commend our fiscal services office and our benefits office specifically for putting together this event. There's going to be a lot of different vendors and services available to staff, $150 gift card opportunities. So I definitely hope the board themselves can make it. It's again 2 to 7 p.m., so we're trying to accommodate people's work schedules. With that, I will get into the unaudited actual results for 2014-15. And as I go through it, I'm going to try to be as succinct and to the point. I'm going to try to have some passion and intensity, maybe not as passionate as intense as Mr. Cena, but I will try. And I'll highlight the main points. If you have questions, feel free to stop me through the presentation. This is my typical budget reporting cycle, just cognizant of where we are. We're starting that cycle all over again with the 15-16 budget, but the 14-15 results impact that 15-16 budget as we move into the year. And we have a lot more to go through until we reach the 16-17 budget and LCAP, because the LCAP is the plan that's incorporated into our budget every year. So when you look at a budget where we talk about a living document, what we mean is it's in constant state of change. Right now we're seeing the unaudited actual results, and that's at the very end of the 14-15 document before it's closed out with the audit. But that impacts the 15-16 budget, which is a living document. So it directly impacts our working budget. We adopted the budget in June. The board adopted the budget. And now we have a working budget. So there's things moving. And I'll present a little bit of how these results impact our 15-16 budget. So these are the last 3 years of unaudited actual results. And this is just the unrestricted side. I tend to focus on the restricted a little bit differently because those monies carry over or deferred for use at a later date. So the unrestricted is really what's available for any purchase. And you could see that we've been balanced the last couple of years. This year we have a little bit more of a surplus, but I'll explain how that impacts our 15-16 moving forward. And the reason that we have that surplus at estimated actuals, which came along with the adopted budget in June, there was a predicted $1.9 million deficit. It ended up being a $2.7 surplus. A lot of that is one-time money or things being carried over on the unrestricted side that will be spent in 15-16. So we'll get into those details as we progress here. The variances were caused by a multitude of reasons. There wasn't a lot of variance on the revenue, only about $300,000, which on a $100 million budget isn't a significant amount. However, it is important. We adjusted a little bit on the LCFF and the education protection account. More money came on the education protection account. Less money came on LCFF as we adjusted at the end of the year. A little more money for lottery and some other local revenue. We had Office Depot settlement, which impacted all customers of Office Depot, and various miscellaneous items, including interest received. So some of those things we don't really know with a certainty. Again, it's estimated actual, so we make our best educated guess at that time. Unrestricted expenditures, there's a lot more variance on that side. Again, budgeting's not perfect science. We budget with a completeness, and we definitely budget on the conservative side, but sometimes they fall a little bit less. Some items went over, as you can see, classified support pay was a little higher. When they're negative, that's actually lowering the expenses, so that's a positive for us. So the $4.3 million in expenditures, so that creates a greater surplus at the end of the year. Some of them, too, are due to carryover and whatnot items. They're not in red, I'm sorry about that, but the textbooks and the materials and supplies, a lot of that's carryover, and I'll explain that. But this is, again, a positive variance, and the details are right there in front of you, so feel free if you have any questions on any individual item. So I talked a lot about the carryover and things available for this year. Typically, well, last year when I presented this, it was just the restricted side. But now we have so many elements as part of the LCAP and other items that are carried over and are made available in the next year that there's an unrestricted side. And so there's targeted allocations, and that used to be formally called EIA, but those are allocations for each school site that they could use only on our targeted population. So it's directly related to our LCAP and the subsection of the unduplicated pupil count, which are your foster youth, your free and reduced lunch recipients, and then as well as your English learners. So those monies are for the school sites to spend specifically on that population. There's school site discretionary funding. As we got more money, we increased, and we have increased through the LCAP, and returned, I guess, restored some of our funding to the sites. We also make that available for them to spend. Some of that money doesn't get expended. Sometimes they save up for items. Sometimes they want to do things in bulk. We allow them to carry that money over. So that's still available. That's in the budget. That's not really surplus because that can be spent this year or carried over for the next year. And then lastly, we have one-time capital projects. So some of the projects haven't been finished or will be expended in 15-16 year, such as the Kovalod fencing project at Mr. Ashman School. Those items will be spent through this year. They have already been allocated for. On the restricted side, again, I don't present a lot on the restricted side because these monies will be eventually exhausted. There are some contributions that were a little less than projected. That does impact the unrestricted somewhat because we don't have to make those contributions this year. But the rest of the carryover and unearned revenue, those monies will be provided to the school sites to spend. And there's some of those are on district level. So $7.2 million of the money that wasn't spent in 14-15 may be spent in 15-16 in total. But you can see our ending fund balance was pretty consistent. It jumped up a little bit last year and a little bit at the end of 14-15. And I will explain that money's there now, but it won't be there. It will be spent down. And we have some recommendations tied to our results a couple slides down the road on why and how that will be spent down. If you look at, this is really the meat of what audit actuals helps us do from a fiscal side. It helps us plan and move forward. And so how does it impact our 15-16 budget, specifically on the unrestricted side? You can see, even with the changes and those monies we talked about in the carry forward, we have to budget those monies that can be spent this year. So we went from adopted budget, we projected at the beginning of the year that this budget would have a $6.7 million surplus. Now that's down to $6 million because we've had some negative impacts already on the unrestricted revenue side primarily. The $300,000 or so on the LCFF sources, that's because the gap closure went down from 53.08 to 51.52. So that was an adjustment on the final budget that the state adopted. The $500,000 you see on state revenue, that went out on the one-time discretionary money that we're going to receive in 14-15, but some of it's coming in on the back end unrestricted, so that'll be available for educator enhancement. I'll have more detail in the next slide about that. So there's a little bit less on the unrestricted side in revenue, and the expenditures went down a little bit, but again, moving targets, subject to change. So the $6 million there that shows a surplus, most of that is one-time money. Again, that will be part of the money that spends down, it gets spent down this year, along with the ending fund balance. I mentioned one-time money is available. That's really what's available right now. There's one-time discretionary funding, about $528 per ADA, or about $4.56 million. That was the $601 per ADA. That's why that amount went down on the state revenue. And it's unrestricted in nature, meaning you can spend it on anything. And it's one time, so we're not getting this every year. It was a payback for the underestimated revenues, basically, the state did for 2014-15 fiscal year for the state. Our recommendation, and this is very important on kind of the results driving where we go forward, is to use the one-time dollars we get from that for facility projects. Obviously, with things occurring at Lyndhurst, we plan on using this money for the HVAC. There was another item tonight for the quad, the gas line replacement and redoing of the quad. There's tons of facility projects district-wide where we're going to be working on that planning process, but we want to program this money as soon as possible for facility projects. In reality, the resources are far short of what our needs are, and that will come out when we present a full facility master plan to the board by the spring, but we definitely recommend to start assigning and allocating this money for facility projects, most of which will probably end up at Lyndhurst High School based on the current need. The second pool of money is restricted. It's a new type of financing that we got. It's called educator enhancement funding. There's still some details to come from the state, but based on our full-time equivalents, number of certificated staff, it's a roughly around $690,000 that we anticipate to bring in. But again, it can only be used for restricted purposes, and the state hasn't given us the full details, but we expect it to be very similar to the Common Core funding. It needs to impact the educators in the classroom. Primarily, we believe, will be instructional materials, professional development, or technology. We can do all those, one of those, or whatever. We have to determine a plan, and so it's something we're going to work in education services to determine how to spend that money. We just got the resource from the state, the restricted resource, so we can put that money in our budget in that resource. And so there'll be more to come on this, but this money will be restricted and not available for any other purpose. So overall, I went through things very fast. I know there's a lot of details on slides. If there's questions after this, feel free. But we had a variance of $4.8 million total with restricted, but 4.6 of that was unrestricted or available for anything. Most of that money, really 3.6 of it, is going to be able to be used in this year. On the restricted side, it says 0.2, but you can see the restricted side, there's a lot more deferred revenue and whatnot. So there'll be a lot more money on the restricted side to be spent. And so that left a real surplus available of about $950,000. However, there's already been shifts in revenue and expenditures. to a point where essentially our budget on an ongoing basis is balanced for 15-16. The real money that's available is what's sitting in our that one-time discretionary I talk about, which is the main portion, that 4.56 of the $6 million that we anticipate, and some money in our ending fund balance as we start the year. Obviously, we'd like to expend what we can of that on facility projects, and the restricted educator enhancement funding, we'll spend that one-time money. And again, there is some embedded in the ending fund balance. As a reminder, we have to finish those other capital projects and things, so there is some already set to be spent down. There's some money also sitting in ending fund balance now because we had the $500,000 we talked about textbooks. That's reserved in LCAP. We need to do an ELA adoption. So some of this money is already spoken for in the ending fund balance and will be spent down on the natural, plus the one-time discretionary, perhaps any more based on urgent need on facilities. So that one-time money we are projecting to spend this year, it will show a deficit, but we will separate the true ongoing from the true one-time as we present first interim, second interim, and we close the estimated actual for 15-16. And move into 16-17. So financially, overall, the results are positive. A lot of that money that got carried over, again, one time in nature, and we're going to expend money one time in nature on an ongoing basis. We have a balanced budget. Again, a living document. So we're going to move forward. We're going to continue to evaluate spending and adjust expenditures and revenues through the year, continue to project until we close the books, and eventually we'll be here back here next year looking at 15-16 closing out. So our budget calendar, I know it's a little hard to read up there, but it should be okay in your handouts. Very similar to last year. You can see we're going to do a lot of communication about the budget and the LCAP and try to get out to stakeholders until we get to November, maybe late November, early December. We start working on this process with LCAP and budget development for next year, specifically in January when the budget, the governor's proposal for 16-17 comes out. We'll continue that through adoption and June 2016. With that, I'll open it up to any questions, comments. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity again. And if any questions arise after this meeting, again, myself or staff are always available to answer to the board or anybody else that has questions about the budget. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a motion here or to approve?
Make motion.
Okay, Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Mr. Fleury, Mr. Fleury is second. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item two, resolution of the 2015-16-09 adoption of the 2015-16 GAN limit and the 2014-15 recalculations. Is there any discussion on this? Mr. Would you like to make a few comments on the GAN?
It doesn't have a large impact on the district. It's just a required calculation based on state legislation that was passed so that we don't get over-appropriated.
This is a yearly approval anyway.
At but, this time, every year, we have this resolution.
Okay, if there's no questions, is somebody would make a motion? Okay, Mr. Boom moves to approve.
I'll second.
Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Nope. All right. The meeting's adjourned.